Listen at a time.
Hey, we welcome you back into In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and you just heard that, and we're going to be talking about that subject right here on In Focus. Dr. Art DeGroat, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Executive Director of the K-State Military and Veterans Affairs, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and this is such an important topic, and this whole campaign, tell me how it got started.
Well, we've been doing a lot of work at K-State for many, many years with our military and veterans. And last year, I was appointed by the governor on the Governor's Challenge for the Prevention of Veteran Suicide, a statewide program to really look deeply at the challenges we're facing in Kansas between active service members, veterans, and military family members, and to look holistically and with professional support from Washington, D.C., to build a new strategy for the prevention for all military-connected people in Kansas. And so by extension, I bring the work from K-State into that in that enterprise.
Okay. And so we know there's a problem here, and we just missed September. September was, I think, Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. But this is a problem that continues well beyond just September.
Yes, it's been a problem forever, particularly with the military. The military faces a rate of suicide not quite but almost double that of non-veterans in our country. It affects all branches of service, with the Army having the largest problem. It affects the National Guard and the Reserve soldiers more so than active duty. And interestingly, the military just released the family member suicide, which they're not obligated to report by law. But this is the first year that the military family member suicide rates, spouses and children, have been shared. So there's transparency. The problem, despite awareness and a lot of work for over a decade and longer, is getting worse despite effort and awareness than getting better. So there's things that we need to do differently, and that's what the governor's challenge was aimed to do.
Mm. Well, we have a large military community here, with Fort Riley not being very far away. What, as far as transitioning, when they're a soldier and then they're not a soldier anymore, is that when it tends to be more prominent?
Well, it actually happens in the life course of military people at all different points. So there's no one particular stage of a military person's life when this becomes more prevalent. It's a risk or something that happens at all stages. However, it's veteran suicide is relatively considered once they get out. And leave the military. And that's, and for many, become the most vulnerable period, where they lack the support, they lack the connection to peers that understand the military-related world. And then sometimes, as we see in the news, sometimes access to health care through the VA and other providers becomes difficult, not impossible, but difficult. When they're on active duty, the care is literally right there. There's this care embedded in units. So the active military has an opportunity to care and shorten the lines of care more so than the veterans community. But they're both, despite that, both have significant challenges. And we're working through those and pioneering some really new cutting-edge ways of dealing with this.
Mm. You know, I met a veteran a couple weeks ago. He's actually a veteran walking across the country. He's from Idaho. He started in California and is going to Washington, D.C. And he himself has battled this very problem. He had four, I think he said he had four comrades that were with him in the military who all committed suicide. And he almost took his own life earlier than sought some care and start talking about it more. And then that's what we really need to do more is talking about it.
Well, I've thought about this a lot, and the advocacy of everyone in America is aware of the problem, I think, about a military-connected suicide, and it's a travesty. Any life loss is a travesty. What we have to do is move beyond being aware of this problem, and people need to take action. Columbia University had groundbreaking research. It's called the Columbia Protocol, and it is now the standard of peer-related response. If you're in a work setting or a social setting and you know someone and you notice their behavior is different, and you have an intuition that they may be considering, taking their lives or doing harm to themselves. The old protocol was, well, you ask them, but you don't specifically ask, are you considering killing yourself? Because the thought was you're planting the idea or ideation. That has been proven not correct any longer. And now it is, suicide is an impulse. And if someone's going to query, say, hey, are you okay today? You don't look right. Have you thought about recently about hurting yourself? We're to directly ask. So too often we walk away from people we think might be in trouble. So the real answer today is, if it's going to work, it's going to be everybody sees somebody who's in need and has the courage to just step up and ask them directly. And if they say, yes, I'm having problems, then don't leave them. Refer them, get them to a phone, dial the crisis line, hand them your phone, do something at that point of impulse. And that has been proven scientifically to abate and delay, while other treatments can be sought long-term to solve the problem.
You know, and it's hard to say, but it is uncomfortable to go up just directly and ask somebody that question. But as you mentioned, it's important.
Yes, and it's a lot less uncomfortable than going to someone's funeral or living with the guilt that someone... I was at a VA, Eastern Kansas veteran suicide presentation, and one of the keynote speakers was talking about they were having dinner in a restaurant in Kansas City with his daughters, and someone was choking. And this gentleman was an MD, trained with Heimlich maneuver, but he didn't feel – he was waiting for someone else to go give the Heimlich and help that person, and he equated – and someone did in this case, but he felt the guilt that he didn't respond. And we as a people have got to come with the suicide problem. We have got to overcome our own inhibitions. And if people are that we know or we're in contact with are struggling, we have to step up. We have to.
Again, we're talking with Art DeGro, Director of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs at K-State, discussing Making Veterans' Lives Worth Living campaign at the Kansas State University Military Affairs Innovation Center. And you've got some emerging success going on with deep TMS treatment at Katie's Way.
This is one of the most, I've done a lot of work with veterans in the last 19 years in this community. And this project is the singular most powerful thing I've ever been a part of. The VA published the National Strategy for the Prevention of Veteran Suicide last year. It's the first time we have a national strategy, and it's based on all cutting-edge research and data. And one of the mandates is for that says there's a pressing need for novel, effective treatment of PTSD, specifically that is not pharmaceutical or prescription-based. Prescription medications for PTSD and depression and anxiety, they have their role and their place. However, that's not the only tool to be used. In 2009, the military recognized deep transcranial magnetic stimulation, or deep TMS. It essentially affects the neurotransmitters of the brain with magnetic impulses through a helmet you put on your head and with a doctor 20 minutes a day for a short period of time. And it does the same thing, essentially, that chemicals would do through a prescription, but it doesn't have the side effects, and it's been proven to have a much higher success rate and response rate. So about a year ago, Jeff Mathis, who started Katie's Way to support child and adolescent behavioral health as a result of losing his daughter, Katie, and he'd been treating military, and he became aware of some of the problems that adults have in military families. And he was a pioneer in bringing deep TMS to Kansas and bring it to our community. And as of today, we've had over 100 in cooperation with Fort Riley and local veterans, the VA, TRICARE, veterans organizations. We've had over 100 military patients have been through Katie's Way deep TMS with it, with a significant positive effect. That system is saving lives every day in our community.
That is great to hear. We want more people to be aware of that and how they can get their treatment there. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this whole campaign with Art DeGroat. Stay tuned. More In Focus after this.